A very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. So we thank our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ for giving this wonderful opportunity to yet again discuss His wonderful words of life. So, so today we're going to see what is the meaning of a church in the Bible. So we all know. And we all go to churches, isn't it? So if somebody asks you which church you're going, generally the people that, oh, I'm going to St. Mary's Basilica, or else I'm going to FGAG Church. So that's what the terms, you see, the people use. I'm going to St. Peter's Church, I'm going to Methodist Church. So what do you mean by church? You see, dear brethren, the church, you see, means generally everybody believes that the church should be, you see, in a particular way. The structure of the church should be in a particular way. You should have a cross on the top of it. There should be a bell. You see, all those things, you see, that is a church. That's the real idea of the church. Okay, now if I ask a question, was there a church in the wilderness? You see, that means in the days of Moses, was there a church? Is it mentioned in the Bible? If you say, many people will wonder, how is it possible that during the days of Moses, a church can be there? But church means that has come only after Jesus. You see, Christians are gathering there, so the church is there. So only it has come only after Jesus' first advent. So before that one, there is no church at all. Okay, so let us study. And let us read on verse Acts 7:38, brother. Peter, brother.
Okay. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which speak to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give into us.
Very good, brother. So here, if you see, Moses, you see, it is that incident where the people of Israel were led out of Egypt to the Canaan land. And on the way, you see, the people of Israel were in the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, that is the place that God called Moses to Mount Sinai and gave him the law. It says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai. Now, how can a church be in the wilderness? You see, that means what is the meaning of the church? How can it be in a desert land where there is nothing, first of all, to sustain some life? Then how can there be a church? So which building did Moses construct? Okay. Let us read one more verse, Acts 8:1, brother. Acts of the Apostles, 8 chapter, verse 1, brother.
And Saul was connecting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And
good,
they were all scattered about throughout the region of Judah and Samaria, except the apostles.
Very good, brother. So he says there was a great persecution against the church. So great persecution against the church means what? Did they persecute the building? Or did they cause harm to the building? So here he says there was great persecution to the church in Jerusalem. That means what? Did they come? Did the people come and smash the building? Did they come and demolish the building? Does it mean like this one? David, and what is the meaning of the church? We need to study. Okay, let us read one more verse in Romans 16:5. Romans 16:5.
Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-loved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Isaiah into Christ.
See, likewise, greet the church which is in their house. See, church means what? It's a building. Then how can a church be inside a house? Generally, church means what? It's a building, no? You see, a particular dais should be there, a particular bench should be there, where everybody can sit, a cross should be there, a bell should be there, there should be a pulpit, you see, there should be a choir group. So everybody believes that this is the church. But here it says, there was a church inside the house. So how can a church be inside the house? Dear brethren, so all these verses puts a question into our mind, saying, what is the meaning of church in the Bible? You see, in the Bible, the word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia means what? If you see, it means the called out ones. The church in the Bible actually means the called out ones. Read 1 Corinthians 1st chapter, 2nd verse. 1 Corinthians 1st chapter, 2nd verse.
Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in the Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours.
Thank you, brother. So here, Apostle Paul gives the correct definition of church. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinthians. So what is the church of God? It says, the meaning it says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. So actual meaning of the church in the Bible is called to be saints, the ones who are pure and holy in the name of Christ, who are cleansed of their sins in the name of Christ, by the blood of Christ, and who are called what? To be saints. Dear, but then this is the real meaning of the church as per the Bible. But today, you see, the word church, the meaning is totally changed. You see, church means what? Everybody thinks, oh, church means building. You see, then why? Because church means that is the concept in the world. You see, but earlier in the days of the apostles and all, this was not the thought. The church, you see, has actually a people, not the building. You see, it's not the building. Therefore, it says in Acts 7, chapter 38, where it says that the church which was in the wilderness. Which church was there? There was no Christ at all. So the church was there, actually the gathering of the Jewish people under Moses. That gathering, that congregation was called as a church. So initially, when the apostles began to do their Lord's work and open the ministry, the people used to gather small places in the houses. You see, today we have cottage meetings now, where in particular house, all the brethren come and have fellowship. That was the usual trend of all the places, all the churches used to gather there, you see. But later on, when huge numbers began to come, especially during the period of Constantine, the emperor of Rome, who got converted to Christianity, he offered a lot of, you see, privileges, you see, and opportunities for one who becomes Christians, like for job, money, land, marriage, etc., etc. So because of this one, many of the Roman people got converted to Christianity. And what happened? You see, the congregation became big. When the congregation is big, of course, you see, you can't accommodate in the house. That is the time that Constantine Emperor built big, big cathedrals, big, big churches, buildings. So since then, what has happened? The church name was given to the building instead of the people. So importance came to the building rather than the people. Okay. Now church means what? We saw it's a group of people. Who are they? This is a Christian. Now who is a Christian? You see, in older days, a Christian was a person who, if slapped on one of a cheek, You will turn the other cheek around. That was the true character of a Christian, brethren. You see, but today, you see, the meaning itself is totally changed. Now, you know who are the Christians? Huh? Who behave vulgarly, who don't wear proper clothes, who do all sorts of sinful activities, and go and confess to the Father. You see, and go and confess to the Lord and ask forgiveness. These are called as Christians. Who wear very, very small clothes. These are called as Christians. You see, who marry today and tomorrow they are divorced. They are called as Christians. Who drink nicely, who smoke nicely. They are called as Christians. So today what has happened? The word Christian itself has a different meaning. Therefore, some people tell, oh, you are too Christian. True Christian means what? There are false Christians also. That is how the world has become today. You see, and moreover, you know, there are many, many big, big villains in very places. You see, like for cinema, you can take it even jail also. The majority of them are Christians. You see, why? Because they have become namesake Christians. Just because of namesake, they would have put the name as Tom, Dick and Harry. You see, just because you change the name, does it become a Christian? No. Actually, in their walk of life, literally, there is no Christianity at all. So, what has happened? You see, so this is how the world has become, dear brethren. So, the real Christians, you see, that picture has gone. And the false Christians have come into the mind of everybody. Therefore, you see, if you go to the jail, no, many and a majority of them are Christians. Peter, Danny, Rosie, Lily, you see, all these are famous villains. Famous villains. Why? Because that is how Christianity is famous today, dear brethren. But originally it was not so. So today, we are going to see different types of Christians. See, you can all see, this is the God's plan of the ages, which God has made for the whole mankind. We studied the subject about three worlds. You see, that is called the first world, and this is the second world, and this is the third world. So these three worlds are there. And in this first world, we can see a small pyramid there. You see, a small pyramid A. And that small pyramid A is actually Father Adam. You see, Father Adam. Huh? So Adam was created as perfect. He was a perfect pyramid. Huh? You see. So once Adam was created, he was created on a plane of N. N is a plane of perfection where there is no sin. You see, you are holy, harmless. You see, in the sight of God. But when Adam ate the forbidden fruit, he fell from the plane of perfection to the plane of sin and death. And through Adam, the entire mankind are today walking in the path of death. But you see, we can see that small pyramid A is very small. But below that one, there is a pyramid that is called as B, that's quite bigger than A. What is this one? When man was created, he was created alone. Only one pair was created. But when they came out of Eden, the generation through that one man, one pair, continued and became larger. Hence, we see that that is still under a plane, you see, on the top of, on plane R. That means the plane death. The world of mankind are condemned in death through Adam. But if you come a little bit further, you can see one more small pyramid, that is G. What is that one? That is a perfect pyramid that represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born on this earth, he was born as a second Adam. As Adam was created, you see, perfect in the sight of God, in the image of God, without sin. Similarly, Jesus also came in the same nature. Why? To pay a ransom. Okay? So, anybody today who believes in Jesus, their sins are forgiven and God considers them as they are sinless in God's sight. Why? Because of the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. So, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. We know these verses very well. So, he that believes in Christ The Bible says his sins are forgiven. His sins are forgiven means what? God considers him from the sinful condition to the perfect condition. God considers that he is no more a sinner. So, man is at the perfection level. Okay, dear brethren. So, here, if you see further in the gospel age, you see, we can see a pyramid which is above plane N and little bit below plane, you see, N. So, what is this one? We can see four divisions, N, M, P, Q. So, what is this division? See, you can see here now. What is this division? Today, we are going to see the various types of Christians in the gospel age. See, in the gospel age, we can see the pyramid. But one specialty of the pyramid is that it is on plane N. But it doesn't have his head. The top is not there. You see? Why? Who is the head of the church? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, where is our Lord Jesus Christ? Is he on earth? If you see, dear brethren, he is not on earth. He is resurrected and he is in heaven. Hence, you can see the head of the church, that is the perfect pyramid, signify there. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ who is in heaven. He is the head of the church. Okay. Now, here if you see, there are four categories of Christians here. N, M, P, and Q. Who are there? First, let us read about Q. The category Q is attached to plane N, but not above plane N. We remember very well. You see, plane N means what? It is a plane of death. They are not above, but below. Below means what? They are still sinners. They are not justified. But compared to the entire world of mankind who have fallen into the sinful and death condition, they are quite better. Because they are attached to Christ. What does it mean? You see, dear brethren, these are the people who are namesake. Not even namesake, even worse than that one. Those type of Christians. These Christians, they go to the church. You see, they go to the church as they go to other temples, you see, other mosques and all these things, just for casually, just for entertainment sake or just for some belief, that's all. But not belief in the blood of Christ, that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. They don't believe that Jesus died for our sins. They don't even accept that Jesus is a personal savior. Why? Because first of all, they don't realize that Jesus died for us and we are sinners. They simply, you see, go. Simply trust him. They don't have faith. There's a lot of difference between having faith on the Lord. So they don't have faith on the Lord. They don't worship our Lord with the true heart. Along with our God, they also worship other gods also. You see, like if there is a Mary festival, they go for a church. If there is a Mari festival, they'll go for Mari's temple. You see, they don't believe in the Bible either. They don't believe in Jesus 100%. They don't believe that Jesus was born by a virgin. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They believe in other false theories like evolution. You see, all these things and all which are against the Bible. Since they don't believe the Bible, they speak lightly about Jesus Christ. So these people in the Bible are called as hypocrites. So they are below plane N. That means they are not justified. They are disguised as Christians. They are not genuine Christians. They are not really Christians at all. They disguised hypocrites. So this is a quite a number. Not so used number. Which is represented by the, you see, the pyramid structure. You see the group called as, you see, Q. Okay. Now, let us come a little bit above. We can see one big group of P. Who are P? You see, the P group are the biggest group in this world. You see, today, the majority of them are composed of this one. Who are these? If you see, these are believers. They believe in the blood of Christ. Hence, they are on plane N, not below plane N. That means they are justified. Justified means their sins are cleansed from the blood of Christ, they are no more sinners in God's sight. They are perfect. Now, who are these? Who are these believers? If you see, dear brethren, these believers are the people who go to the church regularly. They believe in Jesus, that Jesus died for the sins. You see, they accept that Jesus is a personal savior. They realize that they are sinners. They have faith on Jesus. They trust in the Bible. They believe in the Bible. They are repented from their sins. You see, they sing songs for God. They sing praises to Him. You see, they do things which are pleasing to God. You see, they attend all the cottage meeting, all the prayer meetings. You see, they sing songs. Everything they do, you see. And they give charity also. Everything is there. But they have their own ambition. They won't give up their ambition. You see, they want comforts, rich life. You see, they want comfortable and rich life. Dividend. That is the reason they believe in Jesus. They want blessings. All the problems, they want Jesus to solve it. They want Jesus to protect them. You see. And they want Jesus to fulfill all their desires. They want to study well. They want to be very rich, very popular. So, they actually don't do anything for the Lord. They go to the church. Regularly they go. They attend cottage meetings, everything they do. They don't watch movie. They don't watch cinemas. They don't try to involve themselves in worldly things. They don't speak bad words. All these things are there. But they don't sacrifice anything for Christ's sake. Sacrifice means what? That which is should cost us something, we need to leave it for God's sake, for Christ's sake. They don't sacrifice. They don't take any risk for Christ's sake. You see? But they try to give up sin. Dear brethren, you see, they think by giving sin, they're doing very great. This is sacrifice to the Lord. No, dear brethren. No. We don't have the right to sin at all. It is not our right. God told you should not sin. But even then, if you sin, that is violating God's law. So God has no, you see, law that you should have communication with a sinner. But it is His grace that He is speaking to us through Christ, forgiving all our sins. Therefore, these are the people who are living, trying to live a godly life as they think by leaving sin. This is not what Jesus desired. This is not what God's will is. Many think they try to give up sin, that is sufficient. No, dear brethren. You see, no, that is not sufficient. Furthermore, has to be gone. So these are the people who have faith, but they don't show it in action. You see, they trust in the Lord. But when it comes to putting in action, they don't literally put into action. You see, dear brethren. And this is the huge crowd today we can see in the whole world. Majority of them are like this. They are good believers. They believe in Jesus. No doubt at all. They are very good believers, but only believers only. You see, then what else is required, brother? You might ask. Let us see what the Bible says. See, in the days of Jesus also, there were so many people. Thousands, thousands came behind him. You see, let us see once what happened. How many people came? Luke 12:1, brother. Luke 12, chapter 1st verse, brother.
Okay, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciple, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
You see what happened, it seems so. Innumerable multitude followed him, it seems. Innumerable means what? You can't number it all. So much a big crowd, dear brethren. We know 4,000 people, 5,000 people followed, but this is much more than one. It says it was in so much they trod one upon another. You see, and they trod, it seems, a huge crowd. Imagine if there is a huge crowd of a minister coming, any good evangelist is coming, a big crowd will gather, lakhs of people. So many people used to gather, it seems. You see, then you should be very happy, no? Oh, so many people are following Jesus. No, dear brethren, these all followed Jesus only for benefit. Jesus, whenever everybody came, he healed everybody. You see, he made everybody whole and sent them. Sometimes in the Bible says that Jesus did not have time to eat also. You see, and the entire city was at his door. Read Mark 1:33, brother. Mark 1:33.
And all the city was gathered together at the door.
All the city was gathered together at the door. Aha. Entire city was gathered at the door. See, Jesus healed everybody. Jesus blessed everybody. But they all believed Jesus, you see. They all believed Jesus. That's the reason they came. But did Jesus believe them? That's the main question. See, these might claim that we are followers of Jesus, we're disciples of Jesus. But Jesus should tell, no, these are my disciples. Read what Jesus said about these people. John, 2nd chapter, 23 to 25, brother.
Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast, they many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify on man of man.
You see, many people believed in him. Why? Because of the miracles which he did. Today also many people come, huge crowd. Why they come? Only for miracles. You see, but they believed Jesus, but did Jesus believe them? No. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that anybody should testify about man. He knew everybody, why they are coming, only for benefit. So did Jesus believe them? If Jesus did not believe those people, those days itself, now will he believe all the entire crowd or lakhs of people if they come for the meeting? No. Jesus did not believe these believers. Therefore, they have ran. Once what happened, a huge crowd was following him, great multitude. Immediately, Jesus stood. He turned to the great multitude and said, if any man wants to be my disciple, he has to follow this condition. What is that condition? Deny yourself. Carry the cross and follow me. Unless you do this one, you cannot be my disciple itself, Jesus said. Read, brother. Luke 14 chapter, 25 to 27, brother.
And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, father and mother and wife and children and brethren and brother and sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever would not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
See what did Jesus say? Whosoever don't bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. See, what did Jesus say? If any man come after me, first what he should do? He should hate his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, his own life. What is this hate, brother? Actually, that hate word is not a proper translation. It should be loveless. Jesus never told to hate everybody. He told to loveless. That means first importance in life should be given to God and Christ. You see? Love God more than your father and mother. Father and mother, you know, these days, once if they are married, they'll forget about the father and mother. I'll let them go, whatever they want. Then comes brother, sister. They also get minimized, they also get separated. Next is what? Wife and children. Oh, that's very difficult. To love God more than the wife and children, is it possible? No, that is very difficult. Whenever the meeting is there, wife will tell, oh, today you don't go to a meeting. Today come, let us enjoy. Let us go to the marriage. What will the brother do? Oh, wife is important. Lord will always be there. Come, we'll go. That is loving the family more than God. Dear brethren, Jesus said, if any man loves these things more than me, you cannot be my disciple. So if somebody has to be a disciple, he has to love the Lord supremely above everything. You see, then what? Deny himself. Deny himself, hate himself is what? Whenever we have a class, though we have a lot of responsibility, a lot of work is there, you see, a lot of commitments are there, we need to sacrifice, leave all those things for the Lord's sake and come for the meeting. That is denying ourselves. Carry the cross means what? Everybody thinks it is literally. Hence, you know, in the church, what they do? The father puts white cloth, backside there will be a big cross that is stitched. Or else they put a dollar, cross dollar and walk. This is not carrying cross. Carrying cross means what? Carrying difficulties, responsibilities, taking risk for Christ's sake. That is carrying the cross. That's what Jesus did. No? He took his cross for our sake. He risked his life for our sake, dear brethren. This is what we need to do. Deny yourself. First importance in life should be given to God. Next, you see, carry the cross. Take responsibilities for Christ's sake. What are you doing for the Lord? Just not giving money is sufficient. No, Lord doesn't need money at all. The third thing is what? Follow me. Follow the footsteps of Jesus. As Jesus lived in this world, similarly, we should be. Then he says, you cannot be my disciple. If you fulfill this only, you will just be my disciple, dear brethren. Disciple means what? One who follows the footsteps of Jesus. As Jesus lived in this world, a sacrificial life, same way we should live. So many people misunderstand this one and think, oh, brother, oh, that means we should leave everything and go and do village ministry, jail ministry, go and build orphanages, go and build home for the aged, care for the poor, go and build hospitals. No, 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 no. Jesus never did any of those things. Underline it. Jesus never built any hospital. Jesus never built any home for the aged. Jesus never took care of any orphans. You see, he never did all these things. Hospitality or NGO work, Jesus never did that. This is not sacrifice for Christ's sake, dear brethren. This is sacrifice only for your sake. This is not the sacrifice which the Lord is pleased. You might be pleased. We might think that this is we are doing for the Lord. This is not what the Bible says. Jesus never did. Neither did the apostles did this one. You see, did any of the apostles did that? No. Then how should we be? Our example is our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you see in the chart, Jesus is on plane N. Okay? Now what did he do? This was the plane of perfection. When he came at the age of 30 years, he baptized himself into, you see, River Jordan. You see, that is plane M, the plane of consecration. That is called as consecration. One, a plane where one immerses himself in consecration, in baptism. That means dedicating his life to the Lord. That is called as consecration. So Jesus, at the age of 30 years, he consecrated himself to the Lord and came to plane M. So Jesus began his race from this place. Jesus was a perfect man. He had all the rights, like Adam. You see, he could have lived comfortably. He could have done good business. He could have earned a lot of money, be rich, be happy, everything. You see, Jesus could have done all these things. But did Jesus do? No. Why? See, Jesus was wiser than Solomon. The Bible himself tells. Jesus himself says, there's a wiser than Solomon here. Solomon period, you know, how it was so glorious. Whenever the house was constructed in Solomon's time, if there is a crack in between the wall, they used to melt gold and put in between the wall, it seems. They used to never use mortar or cement, but put gold in the temple, you see. Melt it and put it, pour it there. That much cheap gold was in Solomon's time. It says it was like a value of gold was like a value of stone. You see, imagine if Jesus was wiser than Solomon, if he would have thought of earning money and build a big dynasty empire of himself, he could have done it wonderfully, dear brother. He could have bought the entire world. then you would have been the richest person in this world. But did Jesus do that one? No. Why? That was not God's will. God's will was that he sacrificed his life for Adam. Sacrifice. So Jesus sacrificed all these things. Sacrifice means what? That which should cost us something, that which is precious to us, give it for the sake of the Lord. That is consecration. See, what was our Lord's condition when he came to baptism? You see, he was ready to die for the Lord at the age of 12 years. But what was his heart condition when he took baptism? Read Hebrews 10 chapter 5 to 7. Hebrews 10 chapter 5 to 7, brother.
Wherefore, when he come into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said, I come into the volume of book. It is written of me to do why, to do the will of God.
You see, what was the Jesus' heart condition? It says, lo, I come in the volume of book. It is written of me. Lo, I come, O Lord. Why I am coming? To do your will. You see, Jesus came into this world to do the Father's will. Why? Because God was not pleased with the sacrifices. Solomon himself gave so much sacrifices, so many bullocks. You see, so many goats, lakhs and lakhs of, you see, sacrifices. But Jesus, if he is greater, he could have offered many more things. But this was not God's will. You see, what was God's will? You see, what was God's will is that do the Father's will in this flesh. What is that one? To offer himself as a living sacrifice. That was God's will. And Jesus did this one at baptism. Read Romans 12, no, Romans 12, 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies of living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Very good, brother. See, he says, Apostle Paul, what does he say? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. See, living sacrifice, this is acceptable to God. This is a very reasonable service. You said, dear brethren, huh? What is there? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice means what? Huh? Just to kill ourselves, to die. Luck. Huh? No, no, no. Even as you are living, you should live for the Lord. Day by day, you should live for the Lord. Sacrifice your preferences. Leave out your desires. Leave out your ambitions. Why? For Christ's sake. You see, we have to live a sacrificial life. You know, today the parents sacrifice so much to take care of the children. They tell, no, you, I have done so much for my children. I left all my desires, happiness. Why? Because I want them to stay happy. This is the way we need to do sacrifice, not to please somebody or human beings, to please our God. Living sacrifice. I beseech you by the mercies of God. We were sinners. We had nothing. You see, there was no rule that God should save us. But God still came, you see, and through his Son, you see, has redeemed us. You see, he came in search of mankind. That was a wonderful grace, dear brethren. So, all these things, you see, we need to sacrifice to the Lord. So, therefore, if you see, dear brethren, so this is following the footsteps of Jesus. So, in the gospel age, if you see, God is not looking this pea, big group of pea. Who are they? Believers, good believers, you see? No, no. What is God looking at? God is Lord looking at the chosen people. He is not looking at the great multitude of following. Just come for pleasure, for blessings. No. Jesus turned to them and said, if you want to be my disciple, fulfill this condition. Deny yourself, carry the cross and follow me. So this condition, who fulfills? These are only called the true church, the followers of Christ. Now you tell me, in the entire world of Christianity, are all the Christians like this? Are all the Christians offering their body as a living sacrifice to the Lord, brother? Tell me.
I think not.
Correct. Not everybody. Hence, you see, the big group, God is not seeking them. In them, who is desiring to follow the footsteps of Jesus? Only God is searching them. See, Jesus tells this one, Matthew 22:14, brother. Matthew 22:14.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Many are called. Everybody calls. But among them who are chosen? Few are chosen. So, calling is not important. Being of the chosen class is important. Now, you tell me, you want to be a believer of Christ or follower of Christ? Tell me.
Follower of Christ.
Follower of Christ. So, just believing is not sufficient. Follower of Christ means offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. See, Jesus healed 10 lepers. You remember the story, no? When Jesus was coming on the way to Jerusalem, the 10 lepers shouted, "Oh Lord, Master, Son of David, have please grace and mercy on us." So Jesus looked at the 10 lepers and said, "Okay, you please go and show your body to the high priest and offer sacrifices as per the law." So as they were going, what happened? Their leprosy was healed. Now, as soon as the leprosy was healed, what happened? How many people came back, brother, to give gratitude to God?
One.
Very good, brother. Only one. You know, that is the condition of Christianity today. Everybody takes the blessings and forgets God. They think that only the money is sufficient. Just give some 10%, that is sufficient. No, no. God is not a broker. He is not doing any money business here. You see? No, he doesn't need money. In Psalms, it says, no, everything in the mountain, everything in the hills is his. If he wants, he can take anything. He doesn't need money. He needs what? Gratitude. How much you do for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? How much are you following his footsteps? How much are you denying yourself? Read, what did Jesus say? Luke 17, brother. Luke 17, 16, 17. Luke 17 chapter. 16, 17, 18, brother.
Yes. 16, 17. Okay. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asks, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praises to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well."
See, where are not the 10 who were cleansed? Where are the other 9? Is it only one who is there to glorify God? This is the condition they have done. So, we saw today what is the meaning of the church and who are the true Christians as per the Bible. It is not just believing Christ. No, we need to take one step ahead and become the followers of Christ. The followers of Christ means what? Deny yourself, carry the cross, follow Jesus, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? He should cost us something. What do you say? He should really pain us something. Okay? That is called a sacrifice. Like for example, if you have only 10 rupees, if a brother or a sister is in very trouble, you see, we'll lend it. We give it off completely. Why? Because We love our brothers and sisters more than that one. That is sacrifice. That should cost us something. You see, we have all got the rights and privilege to live a comfortable life. No problem at all. No doubt at all. God doesn't ask you to all these things. That's a man's blessing. But being a Christian, you need to deny all these things. You need to sacrifice. You need to leave all these things for what sake? For Christ's sake, for the sake of the truth, for the sake of the brethren. This is, you see, living sacrifice. Daily, even as living, every day, walk in his footstep, prove your faithfulness to God. This is what Jesus did, brethren. He could have lived a very happy, comfortable life. Study well, earn nicely, very big job, all this. No, Jesus did not do that one. He lent, he sacrificed everything to do God's will. So many are called, few are chosen. So next week, we'll continue this class. Class will go for another 3 to 4 weeks. Okay. Say, anybody got any questions? You can ask. Anybody, any doubts, any questions?